Hello everyone, my name is Magic Cat. The art of storytelling has been a part of human history since the dawn of time. Everyone is a storyteller, and stories are all about life and the strange things that happen to us to explain what normally can't be explained. Here on the Normal, Strange, and Amazing podcast, I will tell you stories that have been around for centuries, or stuff I make up, in hopes that all of you will share these stories or make your own as well. What's up, guys? It's Magic Cat, and I have a very interesting story for you today. It is nonfiction. It's really happened. It's very interesting, and it's also really sad. And when I post the links, there are some very graphic pictures as well. So if you're squeamish, I recommend not looking at them because I'm not normally squeamish and they make me cringe really hard. They are not the nicest things to look at. But to let you know what I'm going to go over the story of Hisashi Ochi, who was a Tokaimura nuclear plant worker. And he was the first fatality out of two. From the Tokaimura nuclear plant explosion on September 30th, 1999. So I'm just going to go over a rundown of what he just like of a little bit of the facts for the story and kind of like what he experienced at the time and like give a little bit more, I guess, just a small quick rundown. And then I'm going to go over, a little bit of the extra stuff at the end. So I know this is going to be kind of a tough one to hear. So if you don't want to hear it, that's okay with me. But I find it interesting, and it should be listened to because it definitely shows. You definitely can learn from the mistakes they've made, from the medical aspect to also the nuclear plant aspect as well. You'll know what I'm talking about when I read it, but I think it's important to share this story, and I thank my friend for suggesting this story to me. She really did a good job with finding this one. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hisashi Ochi went into work at the Tokaimura nuclear plant on September 30th, 1999, like any normal day, except today was a day he will experience the greatest pain any human can face on the planet. Him and his co-workers, Masata Shinohara and Yutaka Yokokawa, were preparing a normal, small batch of fuel for the reactor. It is the first batch the plant has received in 3 years, and the men had no prior training on how to administer the fuel. What they didn't know was that the buffer tank for the fuel had a limit of 2.4 kilograms, for the solution they're adding, which was a urinol nitrate solution, and it had about 18.8% uranium in it. At 10:35 a.m., the men made the fatal mistake and poured all 16 kilograms into the main tank, exceeding the limit, and went critical mass almost instantly, creating a blue flash as radiation shocked through their bodies. Yokokawa was luckily 4 meters away, but Ochi had his body directly over the tank when it hit critical. On that day, Ochi and Shinohara were rushed to the hospital, for they experienced fatal levels of radiation. They would have immediately experienced... They would have immediately experienced pain, nausea, difficulty in breathing, and many other symptoms that come with getting hit by radiation. Ochi began to vomit in the decontamination room, and a few minutes later, he lost consciousness. Ochi was exposed to 17 severits of radiation, which a normal human would die at 8 severits. Against his will, Hisashi Ochi was kept alive with every medical treatment possible at the time, even using some experimental practices. His chromosomes were near destroyed, and his white blood count was near zero. The amount of radiation he experienced is similar to being at the epicenter at the Hiroshima bomb in World War II. On the 59th day, he was resurrected three times, and he managed to say, "I can't take it anymore. I am not a guinea pig." The doctors continued to work on him until December 21st, when he ultimately died of multiple organ failure, despite keeping him alive with many blood and fluid transfusions and the numerous of drugs that kept his blood pressure stable. Shionara received some recovery, but ultimately died due to infection from the damaged immune system he received from the radiation on April 27th, 2000. So this was definitely a really tough story to tell and read and all that stuff. Very sad indeed that this had to happen. A lot of it is blamed on the lack of training for Hisashi and his co-workers. The final verdict, I'm trying to find it. So from the International Atomic Energy Agency, they don't the cause of the accident said to be human error and serious breaches of safety principles. So that is not entirely the workers' fault. I would not say that it was their human error. I would definitely say it was the plant's human error for not making sure that these men were trained and explaining to them the levels that the tanks go through. So if it was under the correct operation procedure, the urinal trinitrate would be stored inside a buffer tank and gradually pumped into the perception tank in 2.4 kilogram increments. The buffer tank's tall, narrow geometry was designed to hold the solution safely and to prevent criticality. The workers bypassed the buffer tanks entirely, opting to pour the urinal nitrate directly into the precipitation tank with a stainless steel bucket. The additional solution contained 16 grams of uranium, thus exceeding the tank's unnatural limit of 2.4 kilograms, and then an uncontrolled nuclear fission began immediately. So, if they had proper training, definitely for right there, and explain to them what the nuclear fission process actually does, it would have been very helpful during this day. Now, they had an accident before this one in 1997 that wasn't as disastrous as this one. So, they should have learned from that one, but they did not. So I'll read you a little bit from this article that kind of goes into, I guess, more of Hisashi Ochi's detail. So they're preparing a small batch for their reactor. And Ochi, like I said in the story, had his body leaning on the tank when they were pouring the stuff on it. And Shinara was standing on a platform next to it. And then Yokokawa was sitting at a desk like 4 meters away. So he was the safest, but he still received three severates, which is a lot, despite the .5 severates, that which is the maximum limit of an annual dose for Japanese nuclear workers. So they received a lot of radiation. Oh, and like I said, when the tank reached critical mass, they saw a blue flash happened, which is known as Cherenkov radiation. And then all the alarms started going off, which is this was the considered the worst civilian nuclear accident in Japan before the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster, which is a different one that happened, which I think was caused by lots of other things, but ultimately like a tsunami came in. I don't know too much about that one, but that one was really bad. It raised concerns over the lack of proper training and security measures in nuclear plants at the time, which can be seen. And his chromosomes were completely destroyed. So I don't know if you ever seen like a map of chromosomes, how they usually are and how they usually look. But the picture that they have on this article is not like that at all. So a lot of how chromosomes look is that two of them are combined together at the center. I'm not going to go into too much biology about this, but there's two little strands and they combine together, and then that is, and they usually come in a set and they are numbered chromosomes 1 through 23. Yeah, 23. I hope that's right. The way we look at them, there's usually a map, and then like we look at them under the microscope, they don't like look exactly like the map. They're just kind of like scattered around, and that's where all your DNA is stored. Now, the nuclear radiation destroys DNA, and the nuclear blast, I would say, that Hisashi received completely destroyed his DNA, and which caused his body not to be able to heal at all, because technically all his DNA was destroyed, so the body didn't have any maps or anything to make more, to make the white blood cells and all this other stuff to help heal his body. So his body was just deteriorating right in front of their eyes, and his white blood count, like I said, went to a near zero, which means that he didn't have anything to keep him alive, basically. And then on the 59th day, his heart stopped 3 times and was resuscitated within a period of 49 minutes, despite wishing to not live. He stopped wanting to suffer. And they really kept him alive, which is awful. And they did peripheral stem cells. That was the world's first transfusion of peripheral stem cells, which helped a little, but then the radiation just attacked him anyway. It just attacked those cells anyway. I really can't believe that the doctors did this. There's also a book about this if you're interested. It's called A Slow Death, 83 Days of Radiation Sickness. And it says here that only one of Oishi's chromosomes could be identified or arranged in order. 1 out of 23, which is pretty crazy. And this is exactly what someone would have experienced more instantaneously, though, at the Hiroshima bombing, if they're at the epicenter. So, like, the point, almost the point of impact, or, like, which is in a radius of like where the bomb hit, they would have experienced this type of pain instantaneously and then also vaporized by the force and heat of the nuclear fission. So they didn't suffer, but if they were to stay alive, this is almost exactly what they would experience, which sucks because that means Hisashi just went through 83 days of this, and I would not wish that upon anyone. So hopefully this story has inspired you guys to make sure that where you're working and everything, and that you yourself take many safety precautions, whatever job you're in, so that you don't, you may not experience stuff like this, but so you don't experience any accident that would cause fatal injuries such as this. I'm trying to find there was one thing where they said that his... I'm trying to find it. Oh, here it is. On day 27. Sorry, on day... On the 1 week in the hospital, he made that quote, not the 59th day, so I apologize. This goes into really in detail. After 1 week in the hospital, he began to show outward signs of radiation sickness, and his skin began sloughing off because his cells couldn't regenerate, no new skin form to replace it. He began to have difficulty breathing. Ochi said, "I can't take any more. I am not a guinea pig." He was in extreme pain despite medication. At this time, he was put on a ventilator and kept medically induced coma. On day 27, his intestines started to melt. And 3 weeks later, he started hemorrhaging. He began receiving blood transfusions sometimes as many times as 10 in 12 hours, which is a lot. He began losing a significant amount of fluids, 10 liters or over 2.5 gallons a day, through his skin. So they wrapped him completely in gauze. He was bleeding from his eyes. His wife said that it looked like he was crying blood. Ochi started receiving daily skin transplants using artificial skin, but they wouldn't stick. His muscles began falling off the bone. That is a more detailed what was going on. And on 59th day, he was resuscitated 3 times in 49 minutes. This severely damaged his brain and his kidneys. So at that point, there is no looking forward to this at all. And then he died in day 83 of the hospital from multi-organ failure, which is not surprising at all. And that is really sad. For a little bit of Shinohara, he received 10 severance. So a lot, but not as much. He left the hospital on New Year's Day. But in February, he contracted pneumonia. And he didn't really have a good immune system due to the radiation. He had to write messages because the ventilator and not being able to breathe kept him from speaking, and his last words written were "Mommy, please," and then he died on April 27th. And luckily for Yokokawa, he recovered and after 6 months and was released at home. This is a little bit after the story, the explosion. So in the reaction to the accident, which was found to be completely the result of human error, the Tokaimura power plant was fully automated and fitted with neutron monitoring equipment. Tokaimura had a history of taking shortcuts and putting their employees at risk to speed up production. The deaths of Ochi and Shinohara were the ultimate penalty for their carelessness. 1 year after the devastating accident, 6 employees were arrested and charged with negligence. One was Yokokawa, who claimed he forgot or was not aware of the dangers in the plant, and he pled guilty. Wow. The fact that they arrested him and he was in the accident is surprising to me. I would not think that at all. I don't know if I would... Human error is such a weird word, but... This is more Tokaimura's power plant error for not warning them and trying to speed up production and all that stuff, because that's just not safe. And his face, Hisashi Ochi's face, compared to the other pic, is horrendous. But I'm going to end it there. I'm going to link the stories there for anyone that wants to read them or see them. Their pictures are graphic, so that is a warning. They are very graphic, so if you do not want to look at them, I recommend not to look at them. I appreciate you guys for listening. If you have any more suggestions like this one or a little bit more lighthearted ones, please, after this one, then I will be more than happy to take them and look at them. And you can always email me or tweet at me or send me something on Instagram, and I will get to you as fast as possible. But without further ado, this has been The Normal, Strange, and Amazing, and I thank you. My name is Magic Cat, and I thank you for listening.